Morning and welcome to Faith Without Deeds, the quiz show where points mean...
Nice.
It's nice to see you,
Nice.
And don't just read the Bible, do what it says. Today's challenge is based on James chapter 2, verses 14 to 24. During this quiz, we'll be unpacking the meaning of these key verses. So please have your Bibles open at these verses. But before we start, could you just please speak to the person next to you, check that you know their name, because this might be important later on. 30 seconds. Check you know their name. Please say hi. And that's fine. Okie dokie. Right. So, as I said, please have your Bibles, if you've got them, open at James chapter 2, verses 14 to 24. Taken from the New Testament, James, a follower of Jesus Christ, writes the following.
My friends, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith if your actions do not prove it? Can that faith save you? Suppose there are brothers or sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in your saying to them, God bless you, keep warm and eat well, if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no actions, then it is dead. But someone will say, one person has faith, another has actions. My answer is, show me how anyone can have faith without actions. I will show you my faith by my actions. Do you believe that there is only one God? Good. The demons also believe and tremble with fear. You fool. Do you want to be shown that faith without actions is useless? How was our ancestor Abraham put right with God? It was through his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. Can't you see? His faith and his actions work together. His faith was made perfect through his actions. And the scripture came true that said, Abraham believed God, and because of his faith, God accepted him as righteous. And so Abraham was called God's friend. You see then that it is by our actions that we are put right with God and not by our faith alone. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, so there's our reading from the book of James. So without further ado, let us meet our first contestant. Good morning, contestant number one. What's your name and where do you come from?
Good morning, Claire. Good morning, audience. My name is Jack. I come from Luton and I am a police officer.
Woo!
Thank you.
Hi, Jack. I'm a bit excited here, as you can see. Hi, Jack. It's good to meet you. Well, you look like a police officer with a uniform, and you sound like a police officer.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes, thank you, Jack. So I don't doubt you're a police officer. I even have a copy of the certificate you received after you completed your police training here with me. I wonder, could you please tell me of a time recently where you had to put all of that training into practice?
You see, I haven't really done all that much out on the streets recently, but I have been watching a lot of things on TV. You know, like The Bill, Police Interceptors, Crime Stoppers, CSI.
Okay, Jack, thank you for your honesty. Now let's meet our second contestant. Hello, what's your name and where do you come from?
Hi, Claire. My name's John. I'm from Milton Keynes and I recently qualified as a junior doctor.
Let's hear it for John. John, it's good to meet you. Again, you look like a doctor, and you even sound like a doctor.
Good morning, Claire. What seems to be the problem?
Brilliant. Again, thank you, John. Like Jack, I have a copy of your exam results right here that you took recently, and a recommendation from someone you recently worked with that you are a great doctor. Again, like Jack, I wonder if you can tell us for time where you put all those years of hard training into practice.
So, like Jack, I guess I've not had a huge amount of time to put my hard work into practice. I did walk into a doctor's surgery once last week. I may look and sound the part, but I haven't been very active as a general practitioner.
Oh, well, let's get on with the quiz. So, audience, you just heard James chapter 2, verses 14 to 24 being read from the Bible. I'm going to ask these guys here some questions on the passage. All they've got to do is come up with the correct answer. Guys, can we hear your buzzers before we start? So, Jack? Lovely. And John?
Beep.
Beep. Okay. thank you. Okay.
Beep.
At the end of the quiz, the person with the most points will win. Wait for it. This most amazing teapot. Teapot. Okay, so keep your eyes fixed on that teapot. Okay. So, question one. Okay. Question one. Who was James, the author of his book, in the New Testament? Yes, Jack.
Well, I know that it was said that James was the brother of Jesus and that he became a Christian soon after the resurrection. But I'm afraid other than that, I don't really know anything else.
First point to you, Jack. You are correct. James was the brother, or some say he was the half-brother of Jesus, and was soon saved after Jesus came back to life. James wrote a book, it's called A Letter, to a group of Jews who had recently become Christians to encourage them to act like Christians. James became one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. Okay, he makes no excuses for those people who do not measure up in terms of being a Christian. But we're going to find out a little bit more in a minute. Okay, so second question, on your buzzers. Why did James write this book?
Beep!
Yes,
beep.
Yes,
beep.
John.
Beep. So James wrote this letter to a group of Jews who had recently become Christians. The letter was supposed to be motivating and a quick guide to discipleship. So that basically means what to do and what not to do as Christians.
Brilliant. Second point to you, John. Well done. We know these people for whom the letter was intended were already Christians, as James refers to them as his brothers and sisters. In other versions of the Bible, they are referred to as his brethren. However, these Jews he'd been talking to had been spread abroad. So James wanted a way to help them stay connected to the body of Christ. That's why he wrote the letter. This is a really important point of the context to understand, as this passage talks about faith and works. We don't need to do any works to become Christians. But once we have become Christians and trust in Jesus, then it is important to keep our faith alive. And that's the point of what James is trying to say here. Okay, third question in this round. What did James mean by verses 15 to 17? Okay, you can read that for yourselves, boys. Okay, just give you a couple of seconds just to read it. Okay, so what do you think James meant by these verses?
Beep!
Yes, John.
Beep. Beep.
Yes, John.
James was explaining it was great that they'd all become Christians and accepted Jesus as their personal saviour, which was a free gift given through Jesus dying on the cross for all their sins. However, it's important they put their faith into action. So this applies to us today. So if you see someone who's in need of help with their food and clothing, you need to both consider their physical needs and their spiritual needs.
Correct. Jesus demonstrated this principle to us when performing his many miracles as he went around preaching and instructing. He made a point of dealing with the physical needs and spiritual needs. As an example, in John chapter 6, when Jesus fed the 5,000. Bonus point, Jack, to you, if you want to add anything at this point.
So, it's like we've already mentioned, our faith in Christ Jesus, or our trust in him, it's not supposed to be, you know, lazy. It's meant to be active. In fact, in Matthew 28, verse 19, it says that we're commanded to go and make disciples, attract others to Jesus, walk the walk rather than just talk the talk.
Well, let's check in with Lizzie now to see the scores on the doors after round one. Lizzie, where are you?
Well, Claire, after round one, it's really nail-biting stuff. Both Jack and John have 2 points each. Back to you, Claire.
Okay, round two. Okay, so, the first question. What does it mean to actually have faith? Yes, Jack?
Well, I think you'll find it in Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says that to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for and to be certain of the things that we cannot see.
Brilliant. Faith is invisible. Faith in God involves listening to him and trusting that he will help us and lead us to where we should go. Everyone sat down on a chair hoping that it was going to hold their weight this morning. That was faith. Okay, so faith in God involves listening to him and trusting that he will help us and lead us as to where we should go. Now, the second question, can you think of an example from the Old Testament?
Beep.
Let me finish the question, John even. Give an example from the Old Testament where someone put their faith in God into action.
Beep.
Yes,
So, how about the time that God tested Abraham and asked him to sacrifice Isaac, the son who he and Sarah had waited so long for? It seemed that God had pushed Abraham to his limits, and Abraham was willing to do what he had said, as God had already been so faithful. As we know, at the most crucial moment in the story, God stops Abraham from hurting Isaac and provided him with an alternative sacrifice.
What a brilliant example, John. Can you think of another example, maybe, Jack?
Well, Claire, what about the time when God asked Noah to build the ark? Something at the time that would have been an absurd request. But despite the absurdity of the request, he still put his faith in God and went ahead and did it. And, well, I don't want to spoil it for you, but I think we all know how that ended.
Another good example, Jack. Well done. Okay, so the third and the final round. This time, the round is entitled A Living Faith Today. So we've been talking about the fact that having a faith in Jesus Christ is great, but if it's not backed up by action, then it is dead. So how can Christians put their faith in action today? Jack and John, do you have any ideas?
Claire, I'd like to use my Ask the Audience, please.
Okay, Jack, wait a second. John, have you got... would you like to...
I would also like to use my Ask the Audience, Claire.
Okay, yes. Okay, so we are going to open up to the audience. Okay. But before we do that, back to Lizzie, who might be able to give us a good example to get us all thinking. Lizzie, where are you?
Well, Claire, the crew up here and I have been discussing this. We've been discussing some ideas and we've come up with some options. As a Christian myself, this week I was able to support a colleague who is going through a really tough family time. And it was really good that I could kind of offer to pray for her. Back to you, Claire.
Thank you, Lizzie. Right, okay, so the people around you, you have 1 minute to talk to people around you about how you have perhaps put your faith into action this week, or maybe how you think you could perhaps put your faith into action in the coming week. We just need some practical examples, like Lizzie has just said. You might be willing to share them in a minute, because Jack and John are going to come round with a microphone. But I'm going to give you 2 minutes just to talk to the person next to you. How might you, or might have you, used and put your faith into action this week or in the coming week? Over to you, audience. Right, time is up. If you are willing to share, please put your hand up and the guys will come over with a microphone. Anyone willing to share, don't be afraid. Right, we've got one over on the left. Go then, Jack.
I'm trying to sell fair trade, so as to help people who aren't properly paid for their work.
That's a good answer, that is. I think that's the point to me, right?
John, have you got anyone over here?
I don't know. It's looking... it's a good sight. I think Lou would probably give us an answer.
Okay. We talked a little bit about the ways that we could help our friends and look after them in the week. That's what we talked about.
Anyone else on this side?
Talking to a young lady in China to encourage her in her Christian life.
And one more, just to even up on this side.
Yeah, I started planning this week for our police prayer 24/7 on the 10th of May, where we can witness to other colleagues in the force.
Brilliant. Okay, brilliant. Right, guys, if you want to come back to the front, thank you for that. Okay, so the final scores. Back to Lizzie.
Claire, it has continued to be one of those quizzes you did not want to miss. Jack has 4, John has 3. Back to you, Claire.
Thanks, Lizzie. They're 4. The winner of this teapot is Jack. Yeah. Right.
That's further than it looks.
Okay. Right. Guys, if you just want to take a seat. Thank you. Should we give a round of applause to Jack and John? Now, you might wonder why Jack was so excited about this teapot. Some people have nice, fancy teapots. This is quite a plain teapot, but I quite like it. And some of these fancy teapots, they end up sitting either on a mantelpiece, on a shelf, or in a cupboard, and they collect dust. Perhaps they're too nice to use, but they look pretty. However, a teapot has one function, to make a cup of tea. And I think as Christians, we can sometimes be like teapots, okay? We may look and sound like Christians, but if we don't come off that shelf and fulfill our purpose in Christ, then we're just going to end up collecting dust. As Christians, we are called to serve Christ. So as this teapot, we need to fill this up with boiling hot water. We need to put a tea bag in and make a nice cup of tea. And that is the purpose of this teapot. And as Christians, we need to fill ourselves up with things that are going to help us to serve Christ. Okay. Jesus preached and did lots of teaching. But he also backed up what he said by his actions. If we are Christians, whether we made that decision last week, whether we made it 10, 20 or 40 years ago, we have a responsibility to live out our faith. Jesus died on the cross for us. This gift was freely given to us. We didn't, and we don't need to do anything to earn it. As soon as we invite Jesus into our lives, we start a relationship with him, probably the most important relationship that we are ever going to have. It's in this relationship that all that we do will be because we want to please and honour him in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. You may not have made a commitment to Jesus Christ yet, and you may be wanting to find out more. Maybe look at the Christians around you. Are they actively living out their faith? Is it obvious that their faith is in Christ is alive? Is it obvious to my non-church friends that I'm a Christian? Remember Jack and John, the police officer and the doctor. They talked the talk, but they did not walk the walk. They wore the right uniform and had the right qualifications, but when it came to it, they'd never put their knowledge into action in their jobs. Before we continue, can I just ask you to close your eyes? And we've looked at these verses, perhaps with a bit of humour, but they're very important verses as Christians. So just on your own, just think about how you might be able to live out your faith this week. Sometimes it's hard. It's not easy being a Christian. Let's just think about even the small things. Don't have to be big things. Small things, how we can live out our faith. Whether it's at school, whether it's at work, at home. We go to baby and toddler group. We perhaps go out for coffee. And for those of us who aren't Christians, let's think about the people that you do know who are Christians. What is it about them that attracts you to Jesus? Okay.